I began to really say, okay, God, you've got a plan today, God, and it's not mine. And as I began to say, okay, Lord, I've got a lot of stuff on my calendar, but you can move anything on my calendar that you need to move today. Help me to just watch and listen and then obey. And when I began to do that over that following few years, it began to really change my perspective. And I began to see things differently. I began to look at things differently. I sort of had a new set of eyes. And I would have to catch myself about when I'd be out there running. Okay, now why are you running, James? What's the hurry? Where are you headed? Well, is it your plan or God's plan? And that really helped me then reposition my thinking around stopping and asking the right question. And that's what I call that. I was asking a lot of the why question, but not the what question. What are you doing, God? When things happen, I started asking that, what are you doing, God? And that helped me focus on what God's up to, not what I'm up to.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Trevor Talks. I'm your host, Trevor Tyson. As usual, if you're expecting someone else, I'm sorry. I'm the only one that's here, so we're going to make it work. But this week's guest is the president of Dayspring, which is the world's largest Christian social expression company, as well as a subsidiary of Hallmark. The guy is running the show with distributing over 200 million products per year globally, which is an insane number to even think about. 200 million is more than most people will make in their lifetime. And I hope if you're listening to this that you make more than that. But you know what? We'll just figure it out. We'll go it day by day. But he's a business leader, father, husband, grandfather, believer, and the author of his new book, Blue Skies, How to Live an Extraordinary Expectation of What's Around the Corner. Y'all help me welcome Mr. James Barnett. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Trevor. I'm excited about being here and look forward to our time and just what has God up to next, right? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Exactly. And the one thing I want to start out with is what people usually wouldn't hear on other shows is we got to know each other a little bit before we even logged on here today. We had some tech difficulties, which is awesome. I think it's fun. It gives us an opportunity to see how the other works in a quote unquote stressful environment. It wasn't too stressful. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Patrick came in and saved the day with new laptop. So here we are. Did. We made it. He made it work. And like you were saying, you've done like 50 interviews and haven't had that issue. So it mm-hmm. had to happen on Trevor Talk. So I'm grateful mm-hmm. we got to have that time together. But man, this is incredible. You've got a new book out, Blue Skies. You're the president of Dayspring, which up until I got this pitch, I'd never thought too much into Dayspring, but I'll go into like Walmart and the Hallmark store and Carmichael's, which is a local drugstore here in my area. And you'll see a whole rack that says Dayspring. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how interesting to now get to talk to one of the people that helped create it into the behemoth it is today. So just to start out, you've been with a company for over 40 years. Is that correct?
That is correct.
A lot of people out there don't want to work their current job for another 40 days, nor the less another 40 hours. What is your secret for finding so much passion in what you do that you want to continue to wake up for over four decades and do the same work?
Well, that is a wonderful question. And I started when I was a kid, you know, I was a college kid. And my dad was a pastor and a school teacher and pastored at small churches. And yet he still had to sell stuff in the summer because he needed to make a little more money. I'm the youngest of seven kids. So there was a lot of mouths to feed. And it seems like we had a couple of cousins always living with us. And so 10 or 15 people at breakfast, lunch, and dinner was pretty common. But I always thought I might be in ministry. And yet as I grew up, I always loved business. I was always buying and selling things. And in fact, I went through motorcycles. I think I had seven or eight motorcycles from age 13 to age 18 because I'd always try to trade up, you know, and until I finally got a car. But I was always, you know, interested in business. And so I got my business degree and I was working on my master's at the University of Arkansas. And I met these two pastors that had moved from California with a small business, eight families. And they moved to our area and I met them and I thought, wow. They sold a few greeting cards and a couple of spinners of cards and a few other products. And I thought, wow, you can do some ministry and some business. And I was interviewing with Conoco and Exxon and AT&T and some big companies that were going to move to a big city. And I thought, well, you know, I might just try to see if I can help these guys. And I did a marketing project for them on the sellability of Christian product in the secular market. I thought, well, that sounds like a good marketing project. And so I put some spinners in those stores, and that's where I got my first Walmart. I got my first Walmart. I asked the manager that I happened to know and here in town and said, can I remove the Russell Stover candy off the end cap and put two Dayspring spinners there for the summer? And he said, sure, let's try that. And guess what? I did 10 of the stores, and Christians, I called it Christians Buy Groceries Too. They go to the movies, they do normal things, and they also buy, greeting cards at stores. And so it worked well. And I just said, hey, would you guys want to hire me for a little bit? I'll help you try to build the business. And they said the rest is history. That was 40 years ago. So I've never set out to work anywhere 40 years. I was set out to do the next thing. I was this driven kid that wanted to get ahead. I didn't have much. And so, hey, I wanted to hurry up and get married and have kids and get a house and get a, get my job going and my career. And so that's sort of what I did. And I sort of started with these guys. And I, what I loved about it versus a big company is in a small company, you can see the results very quickly. You get to try it and then you see the results and you get to say, okay, is that working or not working? And so I enjoyed that environment. I enjoyed building things. And, I think we had about 20, 25 folks working here at that time. And now we've got 250. We've had as many as 500. We used to have manufacturing, but God granted us so much favor through the years. And I started a sales department and a marketing department and helped grow the business. And now I've been running the business for 28 years.
Wow.
I've been here 40. So
that is incredible. And it's interesting that you say, like, when you're in a small company, you can actually see the results a lot more. As Dayspring has scaled on, has it become harder for you to find those results? Or are you like just that purpose-driven mindset guys like, oh, there's results there. I may not be able to see them right off the bat, but if I dig hard enough, I could find them.
Yeah, I think I see them. You know what? We're small enough still that I just came out of a business review meeting for the month and we're still small enough. We can sort of see what's going on in the business and the company. But yes, are there still things I don't know as much as I used to that we need to dig into? We sure do. The thing I get not only excited about the products that we're placing, the 200 million products or so, we're touching billions of people a year through e-commerce and through emails and through touch points on, through social media. The amount of touches that God has granted us to be in the marketplace, and we have an unbelievable marketing group and reach there. And so to think that this year we will touch about 3.5 billion, what I call 3.5 billion touches. Sometimes that's obviously it's many times to some people, but there's amazing that we've grown from this little bitty small company to a really large international company, primarily the United States and Canada, but our reach is around the world. And I love seeing the map where we have e-commerce, and I see activity around the world and think, wow, God, what an amazing, touch that you've allowed us to reach, through products and services to people around the world.
How incredible. And to think that this all started in a small town in Arkansas and has become a global thing. As I was telling you before we logged on here, I went to Walmart last night, which was, you got the first Walmart store for Dayspring because yes. The fruits of that labor, I was able to find my mom a birthday card.
Like, oh, wow. That is so great.
It's so random that it happened at that time because I had Dayspring on my mind from reading the book. And I was like, I'm going to go find a Dayspring card because you've got them online and everything, but I needed it now.
That's right.
And I was able to find the perfect card, and I hope it warms her heart, but it's just so incredible to think that all of that started in Arkansas. And I want to use that as a touch point, as you would say, for people out there that are living in a small town. Like, I come from a tiny town called Social Circle, Georgia. Last time I checked, there was like 2,500 people that live here. Having a show, like speaking, all of those things were never on the table for me. But if God gives you a unique calling on your life, you got to go out and chase it. So my question for you, piggybacking off of that, is when you met the Dayspring guys, was it an instant thought of like, I really want to work with these guys? Or was there a thought in that process of like, these guys are kind of nuts, I like it, but we'll see?
Well, truthfully, it was about 45 minutes. What The quick story, they actually had moved from California. One of the founders had grown up in Oklahoma and one had grown up in Iowa. And they went to school at Pasadena Christian College, which is now Point Loma Christian University in San Diego, but it was in Pasadena, California. And they became Nazarene pastors and were pastoring churches, had this idea of getting publishing outside of the church, ended up quitting their churches, started doing publishing and for products for 8 years. 8 years in, had this idea of a greeting card in 1971, did a few greeting cards, it grew, and they decided to move to Arkansas. That's a whole story. They were looked a lot of other places. Arkansas was the last place on their mind. It had to be a God. It was a God moment to get them to even wake up to say, what do you mean Arkansas? But they came into town and they bought 500 acres south of town and built a business building. They built their some homes, and it was about 3 miles south of town. So we're a little worried about what kind of group is this coming in to a small town of, our town is 5,000 people at that time. Now it's 25,000, but they run in. So they've been in town about a year, and my dad had met one of the founders. And I was by his house one day when I was after a class, I stopped by to see him. I'd just gotten married. And so we were living in obviously another place there in town, but I stopped by to see them. And my dad said, "Hey, I met one of these founders of this company that moved from California. You want to go with me?" And I said, "Yes, I want to go. I want to know what they're doing out there." And so we went out, we met them, and about 45 minutes in, I thought, these guys, they are a little strange and crazy, but they're not strange and crazy. You know, they love Jesus. They want to do the right thing. They're trying to run a business, but they really have a ministry heart. And about 45 minutes in, I was needing to do a thesis for my master's program. And I thought, I wonder if I could test the sellability of Christian product in the secular market. Because I asked them if they sold anywhere outside of Christian stores. And they said, "No, we just sell to Christian stores." And I said, "Well, how come?" That's when I made this comment. I said, "Well, how come you don't sell to Walmart or Safeway?" I said, "Don't like Christians buy groceries? I mean, they buy stuff, I said, "We're just regular folks, but we happen to love Jesus. And we live in these small towns, like you said." And I said, "I think people buy this." And so I told them I would go get 10 stores and I would get a professor to sponsor me and put a whole program together, got some PhD students, do some market research. And so we put this project together for 3 months. And I had a ball. I loved it. I thought, "Wow, Lord, man, this to really get a message of hope and encouragement and make an eternal impact on someone's life, like that card you bought for your mom." I mean, that scripture does not return void. There's a message and a piece of art that's hopefully going to speak life, but that we believe it's not just a water for today, but water for tomorrow. And so that I pitched this idea to them all in about 30 minutes. And they said, "Well, come back in a couple of days and we'll talk." And in the meantime, I got all my stuff together with my professor and he said he would do it with me. And that's what I did that. And at the end of the 3 or 4 months, I thought, first of all, guess what? The Walmart in Siloam Springs sold more dollars in 3 months than their largest Christian store was selling across the country.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Incredible.
And that spoke to me because I thought, these cards and these gifts and these notes, sell. And all you do is got to get them in front of the right people, because Christians, there's 100 million, believing Christians that are, right here in the U.S. And so that are, go to church once a month and that are engaged. And so how do we reach that? So that got me excited about, wow, God, this is an amazing story. You can do this business and ministry together. and help. I wanted to really had a lot of passion around helping them grow that business. And so I said, hey guys, I'll join you guys for, you know, a year or 6 months and see if I can help you. And if I'm in your way, just kick me out. If I'm not, maybe I can stay around here a bit. So, So that's what I've done. And I helped them again, started calling on these Christian stores and general market stores, made my first call in the Walmart headquarters that next year and sold the Christmas cards. And we've been selling to Walmart now for 40 years. And so, by the way, before I forget this, is we are also in Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores. Those are in a lot of small towns. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see us under the Joyfully Yours brand by Dayspring that we have. And so the local Walmart, the local Hallmark stores, some of the Dollar Tree and Family Dollar stores, you'll see us in CVS and Walgreens and wherever Hallmark product is sold, we'll be in those stores. So we're excited about that.
And how incredible is it that you're just about in all these big chain stores across the country and across the globe, as you mentioned earlier? How incredible is it that nobody had that idea before you did? So these guys come from different parts of the country into Arkansas for this one guy, being James Barnett, to be like, you know, I think Christians still go to Walmart. And with that being said, did you find it hard to gain respect in the secular community as a business leader being over a Christian organization like that?
I would say yes. We had a really tough time early on, and even still do sometimes with the gatekeeper. What I call the gatekeeper is the person that is thinking, well, that stuff won't sell in our store. I mean, that I heard that so many times in the early days. Is I said, well, let's try it. I mean, why don't we try it? I said, I think your consumers are, you know, folks from all walks of life. I think they might do that. So yes, I would say our biggest challenge was the gatekeepers at that point. Mm-hmm. But with Walmart being right here, and I call it our backyard, it's 30 miles away. You know, I knew a lot of the people from that world. That, in fact, I could have gone to work at Walmart. And a lot of the people, I had Sam Walton. I called him up a couple of years before that in 1978 to speak to my business class at John Brown University. And guess what? He answered the phone and he came. And so, you know, it's that we live in a smaller area here. We know people. And back then we sort of knew people that knew people and you could always connect with them. And so it was with Walmart, it wasn't a big objective. We were sort of the same kind of folks. And so they were like, well, yeah, let's try it. Let's try that. But other stores we went to, they would think, well, that won't work here because, well, we don't sell that stuff or that kind of thing. But so we again, I was persuasive enough, I guess, and God's favor was give me a try. Let us try some stuff and see if it works. And if it doesn't, we'll take it back. It worked. And so that's what's been amazing.
That it did. And just to kind of piggyback off of that and go into your book, one thing that really stood out to me was your explanation of the difference between being driven and being called. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit and how God's actually revealed that in your own life?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, I was, again, youngest of seven and, you know, what you would call, I guess, the type A. I was pretty, you know, outgoing and I wanted to, we didn't have a lot. We were sort of poor. We didn't know we were poor. We thought we were fine, but we didn't have much. And so we always grew up with, if you wanted to get a dollar, you better go earn it. You know, you had food and shelter at your home, but you didn't. My parents were always encouraging us to get out there. But so I was in a hurry to grow up. I was wanting to hurry and get, you know, I got married at 21 and we started having, my wife and I had kids at 24 and 25. And by, you know, we were having, you know, we had three children in that window of period, about 5 years. And I was in a hurry to get that education, get my job and get ahead. And I was praying. I was, these guys were Christian guys. I was a believer from being a kid and from when I was a kid. And I loved the Lord, but most of my 20s were spent, you know, with, hey, God, you know, I've got a plan and I want you to join me. You know, Lord, I've got this agenda and would you come and join me for, you know, all the things I'm doing? And I'd pray, Lord, you know, help me with this and help me with that. And when I would get what I sort of wanted, I'd say, you know, great job, God, right? But when I didn't, I'd say, why, God? Why did this happen? Why? But when I was 30, I went to a conference and it was a guy named Bob Buford. He wrote a book called Halftime. And he lost his son the year before, and he had invited about 400 of what he called the busiest Christian people he knew across the country and we had us meet in Dallas, Texas. And he basically, the weekend theme, he brought in about eight speakers from around the country that were the leading speakers of the time. And the theme of that conference was, are you driven or are you called? And, you know, I first started that conference thinking, oh, I'm called. I am. But by the time I listened to these speakers and I examined my life, I thought, you know, the truth is I'm just driven. I didn't even understand calling and what calling was. And that weekend turned, I would call that one of those pivot points of my life where I began to ask a different set of questions. I had never asked, I didn't really understand calling. I began to look at the scripture and to think, what does it mean to be called? Is to, you know, our calling is to love God and glorify Him forever, right? It's about Him. And that calling is about, all things work together for good to those that are called according to His name, not our name. And that's Romans 8:28. And this issue of calling began to really speak to me about, oh, it's not my agenda. It's God's agenda. And I'm going to join Him in His agenda. And so this issue of this, yes, I'm still driven. I'm still an achiever wired. My God, He wired me to achieve and to grow things and to make things happen. But I used to do that for my own plans, you know, but as I began to really say, okay, God, You've got a plan today, God, and it's not mine. And as I began to say, okay, Lord, I've got a lot of stuff in my calendar, but You can move anything on my calendar that You need to move today. Help me to just watch and listen and then obey. Come on. And when I began to do that over that following few years, it began to really change my perspective. And I began to see things differently. I began to look at things differently. I sort of had a new set of eyes. And I would have to catch myself about, when I'd be out there running, okay, now why are you running, James? What's the hurry? Where are you headed? Well, is it your plan or God's plan? And that really helped me then reposition my thinking around stopping and asking the right question. And that's what I call that. I was asking a lot of the why question, but not the what question. What are you doing, God? When things happen, I started asking that, what are you doing, God? And that helped me focus on what God's up to, not what I'm up to.
I love that. And in the workplace, a lot of people struggle with letting go and trusting that God does have a bigger plan for their lives. Can you chime in on this mindset that people are just running with? And it seems like they're running with it at a more rapid rate these days than ever before. Can you chime in on that mindset and offer some advice for those that feel stuck in that rat race?
Yeah, I think for me, and again, we all look at it, we all perceive it this differently, but the reality is that the aligning with God's plan on a daily basis is a real discipline. It's easy to say, and it's hard to do. I mean, that's why for me, I every morning before probably the last 25 years, really before I almost get out of my bed, I'm laying there and I say that prayer I just repeated. That's really my prayer every morning. It's I have to get my mindset on it. Today is about God's plan. And I think so many Christians, we get caught up in, you know, our own stuff, because let's face it, my name of my book is Blue Skies, and it's, you know, how do you live an extraordinary expectation of what's around the corner? The reality is we have a lot of clouds. We have a lot of problems in life. We have a lot of challenges. It is not easy. I mean, if I had to sit here and list the things that we've had some very difficult things in our family and relationships, and challenges and issues of health and things go wrong, right? What we think is wrong. And most of that leads us to discouragement and anxiety. And we go, why, God, why do you allow this to happen? Why? And again, I still struggle with that too. I'm just like the next person. But when I started moving that to, you know what, all things work together for good. There's a condition there, right? But to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And then to whom God, you know, calls, He conforms to the image of God. There's a conforming season that we're in. Really, it's the entire sanctification process, right? It's that we come to know Him, but we're in this growing area. Our job is to find the right perspective, that God always uses circumstances to help shape us and mold us if we're truly following Him. So how do we keep perspective? How do we work with that anxiety and that discouragement when things don't go well? I love every life every day with the perspective that, you know, things probably are going to go awry today, and that's okay, God, because I'm here to follow you and I've got to keep that perspective. And that takes discipline. There's no doubt. I one of my ways I share that is, you know, something that I learned in grade school that you probably learned in grade school, and you live in a small town, and is when I used to cross the street to go to the school, there was a guardsman there, a guardswoman that had a little sign that said stop, right? And he or she would walk out in the middle of the road when there's enough kids and would stop everybody and say, okay, kids, you know, stop, but look and listen. Now look and listen and go ahead and cross the road. And, you know, I think if I can get encourage people to stop, look and listen. Is stop and ask the right questions. Is, you know, instead of asking that why question, I mean, we won't ask it, we're our curiosity, but okay, Lord, what are you doing? What is, why, you know, I don't know why this situation has come, but you read the book of Psalms, read anywhere in scripture, every believer, every follower of Jesus and of God in the Old Testament had problems and they were a mess. People had struggles and they would ask why God a lot. But then he would come back and say, okay, God, now what are you doing? And, you know, I'm going to follow you and we'll be after your heart. So that stop and ask, make sure you're asking the what question. And then looking in the right, what I call looking in the right places, the amount of information coming in to us, you know, our visual information today is unbelievable. The last 20 years, it's just increased. And so much false information and so much things is, you know, we've got to look in the right places and we've got to look with spiritual eyes, right? Yeah. And then we've got to listen to the right voices. Again, so many voices speaking today is how do you get discernment and making sure that you're having that. So I encourage people, you know, to in order to get the right perspective, we have to stop, look, and listen. Hmm. And when we do that, then we can pause, slow down a little bit and say, okay, Lord, I want to follow your plan, not my plan. And it's not easy, but I know that you've got good things ahead and that you want to do. And I want to be obedient to your plan.
Come on. And James, everything you said today just has so much meat on the bone. And I'm like, if people are either watching this on YouTube or listening, go get the book Blue Skies. And you didn't ask me to do that. I'm personally like, people need to hear this message, but there's also another call to action that I thought would be really fun. With dayspring.com, they actually have a feature right now to where if you go to dayspring.com/e-cards, you can send a free e-card to somebody. And I want everybody to take advantage of that. This isn't a sales pitch. James didn't ask me to do this. His publicist didn't ask me to do this. Nobody asked me to do it. I found it because I went to Walmart at 10:30 last night. Because you know what? I forget about birthdays sometimes and it's fine. And I knew the date, but I didn't know that it was August 9th. So save yourself some time. You can send a free ebook right now at dayspring.com/e-cards. We're going to have a link for that in the description below as well as for Blue Skies. James, thank you so much for taking time out to do this. I feel like we could talk for hours on just the fact that Dayspring is now releasing books. You've got books with Candace Cameron Bure, Brittany Moses, who's a close friend of ours here at Trevor Talks, and obviously your book. So there's a lot going on with Dayspring. So everybody, be sure to go follow them on social media. All of it will be in the description below. And if you're struggling right now and you need that extra hand of help, be sure to check out some of the resources as usual that will be in the description for heart support, death to life, beneath the skin. There's so many amazing people out there that want to hear your voice and want to help you through these hard seasons. And we love you guys so much. And James, again, thank you so much for being here. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Goodbye now.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God looks at your heart, not your jean size. Do you know the verses, yet still stress over your body? Oh, I get it. I was raised in church, but I struggled with food, eating disorders, and my body for decades. I'm Heather Creekmore, host of the Compared To podcast, where we talk about all things body image and comparison from a biblical perspective. We get real about the pressure to focus on appearance in a culture where looks seem to matter most. Whether you're wrestling wrinkles or battling the scale, Compared To is the show for you. You'll laugh a little and be encouraged a lot. If you're ready to stop comparing and start living, visit lifeaudio.com to listen and subscribe.